Good morning. This is Pastor Bandito coming to you live from Metropolitan Baptist Church. Of course, all kidding aside, folks, welcome to our live stream service this morning. And of course, it's unfortunately not so funny anymore, these crazy masks and everybody. I saw someone as we were driving to church this morning, all by themselves in their car, wearing their mask. And I thought, are they afraid that they might give themselves the virus? I didn't understand all that. Well, again, welcome to the service this morning. This is the third week we've been streaming live from the auditorium here on Sunday morning. And though we can't be together physically, we do know the bond of the Holy Spirit, that He has us one in Christ. And so we share this time together. Just a few announcements as we begin this morning. But let me back up and pause for a word of prayer as we begin. Father, we are grateful and thankful that we can be in this place. Lord, we realize that this building of stone and cement and wood is a building. It's not your church. We are preaching and doing our best today to minister to your people, both to the Metropolitan Baptist Church, but to all that might be logged in and viewing this live stream. Please, Lord, grant your direction, grant your leadership, that we can honor you in everything that takes place here today. I do pray for those that are sick, those that are struggling with this virus across our country. Lord, of course, we pray for the preservation of life. We pray your mercy for each and every one that is battling this. We pray for the healthcare workers, Lord, on the front line of this thing, and pray for their protection, their safety, and for all the rest of our first responders. We're grateful for them. Pray for our president. We pray for all those in leadership, for his task force, Lord, trying to make good decisions. So we're praying for your wisdom, your direction, for every leader in our communities, across our land, and even in the world today. But right here, right now, we need your presence. I certainly need your clarity and your help to be able to deliver the message in a little bit that you would want for our church family. Lord, we love you. We're so grateful, so thankful to you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, just a few announcements as we would begin our time together. The youth yard sale, that thing keeps getting moved. As of now, it is scheduled for Saturday, May 2nd. Hopefully, this thing is going to be letting up and we'll be able to get back to some normality by then. But in conjunction with the youth yard sale, of course, that's to raise money for our young people to go to church camp. And Southland is the camp that we've been using for several years now. And they as well have some decisions to make and just concerning their summer schedule. And they're going to be making that decision very soon. And, of course, we'll pass that on. We wanted to mention that the Shepherd family and the Fafawina family, two of our missionary families out of our church, have new letters that have been posted to the church website. And obviously, of course, church family, all of our regular meetings and our fellowships have been canceled at this point till the beginning of May, and we're praying about that. That's our plan, at least for being able to reopen our services. Please, of course, there's needs for the operations of the church, so please continue to do your best to get your tithes in, your faith promise offering in. We still, of course, need to take care of our missionaries. And I'm so very, very grateful there are those that have really gone out of the way to make sure their offerings have been in, either dropping them off at the office or by going to the giving page on the website, or, of course, just putting it in the mail and sending them in. So please, just be faithful in that matter as well. As far as we're trying to work on something for our prayer list, We want to be able to keep our folks updated. Of course, we continue to send out our SK notification system for immediate prayer requests, but we're also going to work on both our group church Facebook page, which is a private page, an invited page, where we could post them there, plus the members page on our website. We're going to try to work on that, get that sorted, where you could log in there to keep track of the ongoing prayer needs. So please, please be in prayer about those things. And of course, as we continually urge each other to be in prayer for each other, I know you're praying for your physical families. Pray for your church family and those needs that are within our church body. We have the pleasure this morning. Miss Deborah Stevens is here with us and helping out with the stream service today. And she's going to sing for us now. Please pray for her as well.
That's a miracle to me. He despises sin, gave his life for sinful man. The greatest love came from above when he came down. God chose to send his only son. Let him hang there on that tree and shed his precious blood for you and me. He came down to us, gave his life for us. Almighty God, that's a life for sinful man. The greatest love came from above when he came down. Aren't you glad that he came down?
Amen. Thank you, Deborah. Appreciate that very, very much. You could turn in your Bibles this morning to a couple places as we begin our message today. In the 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll be reading a couple verses out of both of those passages. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 1 Peter chapter 1. We read Paul's words to the church there at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, where it says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." And then reading from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 6 and 7. We read these tremendous words. It says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Father, we bow before you once again, and we ask for your help as we look into these scriptures today. Lord, it's our desire as they speak of that growth, that increasing of our faith. Pray, Father, I'm praying in Jesus' name that you would indeed give direction, give leadership, give your help, and we will give you the glory for every bit of it. Father, whoever might be watching or listening to the service today, trust that you administer to their heart an exact area of their need today. And we'll give you the glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Excuse me just a moment. Amen. Well, as we consider these passages of Scripture, we realize that the Christian life is a life of faith. It's a life that begins by faith. It's a life that continues by faith. And it is certainly life that goes on into eternity by faith. But the question, of course, is just what is a life of faith? The Bible says, this verse we looked at a couple weeks ago, the just shall live by faith, or those that are right with God, those that have been made right with God, shall live by faith. But again, the question, what does that mean? Well, I read about a pastor and an evangelist and a missionary that they were in a small boat out on a pond, or I guess as we call it in Texas, a tank. And they was in the middle of that pond fishing. None of them had caught anything all morning. And along the way, the evangelist stood up and he said, I need to go to the bathroom. And he stepped out of the boat and he walked across the water to shore. And then in about 10 minutes, he came back the exact same way. Well, little bit, the pastor decides he needs to go to the bathroom. So he climbs out of the boat and walks on the water to shore. He too comes back the same way in a few minutes. Well, the missionary, he looks at both of them and he decides that his faith is just as great as the other two and that he can walk on water as well. He stands up, steps out of the boat and sinks. Well, the evangelist looked over at the pastor and he said, I guess we should have told him where the rocks were. Well, as obviously the missionary's faith was misplaced at that time. The question is for us, is our faith based on what we see or is our faith resting upon what we know? And then the question, what does it mean to be increasing in our faith? Now, if I'm going to know what we might call the successful Christian life, well, then I'm going to need to learn to live that life by faith. Listen to this quote, tremendous quote, from a man of God who, though he's been with the Lord now for many, many decades, continues to be a tremendous example of what true faith is. This is a quote from George Mueller. He said this, faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. Did we get that? Faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. Now get this, there is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Tremendous statement. Faith, he goes on to say, faith begins where man's power ends. Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mueller. Tremendous. I'm going to say that read that one more time. Faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There's no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. Wow. That's describing a supernatural life, is it not? A life that transcends what is possible or humanly possible. But along with that, the first thing I'd like us to see this morning is the challenge of our faith. The challenge of our faith. Now, the Apostle Paul, as he wrote there to that church in Thessalonica, he commends them. He commends them for their faith. We read those words again. He says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or as it is right, because that your faith groweth exceedingly." He goes on to say, "And the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." As I read those words, I can't help but conclude that the greater our faith, the greater our love will be for each other. And beloved, my desire is that my faith would grow. I think it's a good thing that my heart, hopefully your heart, is often challenged as to what, can I say it this way, this faith thing is all about. And I've asked, I've prayed over the years for the Lord to increase, to grow my faith. I desire, I long that indeed to grow in the expression of my faith. But there is always that thought about what may be required of me for that to happen. For what to happen? For me to grow in my faith. Is our faith, beloved, is our faith being challenged during this pandemic that's going on? Sure it is. Sure it is. We want to be honest. Is our faith growing during this pandemic? Now, that may be another question, right? I certainly hope and trust that it is. Be mindful. You're probably like me, that 6 weeks ago, this pandemic thing, this virus thing, wasn't even on my radar. What was going on in China was a long, long way from Fort Worth, Texas. So, is God in these days challenging our faith with the purpose to grow it? Well, there's no doubt, in to my mind, that He is. That He is. In fact, beloved, think about this. I believe that God is always working to increase our faith or our trust in Him. I want us to look at a couple passages here concerning faith that convince me that this is indeed the fact. This is indeed true. Turn with me, if you would, to those verses that we read a moment ago in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. These verses concerning faith. And again, they convince me that God is indeed continually working to grow us, to increase our faith. Look at these verses carefully with me. Peter writes and he says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice." Then he goes on to say, "Though now for a season." We're certainly in a different season, are we not? "Though now for a different season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold," or the idea of the word manifold is diverse, "different temptations." Well, what are these temptations? What does this word mean, manifold temptations? Well, the idea of the word is from the the Greek text that Peter comes from is to be put to examination. These manifold temptations are tests, beloved. But verse 7 goes on, and notice the words there, that the trial or the testing of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be, notice the word again, tried. Tried, or what? Tested. Though it be tested with fire, might be found. Well, what's that mean? That it might be discovered. That it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Wow. Now consider that. The trials that we experience. Now listen to this. The trials that we experience reveal the character or the depth of our faith. Huh? Do we get that? The trials that we experience reveal, they manifest the depth, or might we just say the reality of our faith. Peter is revealing that genuine faith that has come through the fires of testing is of great value. Genuine faith, tested faith, is valuable, of great value. It's precious. Wow. The principle is clear. Let me ask you, what is worth more? What has more value? That gold that has just been pulled from the ground that still has the impurities and all the other things in it? Or that gold that has gone through the refining process? That has gone through that process to remove the impurities? Huh? Well, of course, the answer is obvious. That gold that has been through the fire, that gold that has been through the refiner's pot is far more valuable than that raw gold as it comes from the earth. What's the application? The fiery trials that God allows into our lives are the purifying processes through which our divine refiner uses to strip away things that, listen to this, that we may have along with our faith. That along with our faith, we may be trusting in Him as well. Trusting in as well. You follow me? When the refining process is complete, that refining process of our faith is complete, our faith stands in Christ alone, not in human ability, as Brother Mueller was pointing out, not in what we can do, not what it, hey, beloved, not in what the medical professionals can do, not in what the government can do, but what in our God can do for us. Yes. We rest, we trust. Our faith stands in Christ alone. Beloved, that's the great goal. So that when Jesus appears, remember what Peter said, that when Jesus appears, we will receive His praise, His honor. What does the verse say? Let me read it again. Verse 7, 1 Peter 1. That the trial, the testing of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Beautiful. How tremendous. We look forward on that day, that time of His appearing. What to hear? Well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant. That one who has manifested faith. James echoes those words in his letter, the letter of James. In James chapter 1, We won't spend quite as much time on this, but I want us to hear these words to see that they indeed support and echo what we read from Peter. James chapter 1, beginning to read there in verse 3, says, knowing this, praise God for some things that we can know and hold on to from His Word. Knowing this, that trying, again, same word, testing. The testing of your faith worketh patience. And the idea is that endurance. James goes on and he says, but let patience have her perfect work, her complete work, that finished work. And what is that work? It's that end result. The end result. Again, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Means to have no lack, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, James says, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Beloved, do you believe that? Do we have that faith to believe that God will meet your need? That if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. Wow. With this truth then about faith, James connects to faith this very tremendous, this very familiar word concerning wisdom. We quote those words all the time, how we need wisdom and how God has promised us to give us the wisdom we need. But put it together. In this trying, in this testing of our faith, we need God's wisdom. We desperately need wisdom to understand what God is doing along the way. Isn't that right? To understand what our God is doing in our lives. Yes, God will bring challenges into our lives. At times, He'll even allow Satan. Now listen to this. He'll permit Satan to sift us in order to build us into the vessels of faith that He would have us to be. You say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Really? If you don't believe that, remember that that God permitted Satan to take everything away from Job. He permitted Satan to take away his possessions. Listen to this. He permitted Satan to take away his family and even his health. Did Job struggle with all that he was going through? Well, yes, he struggled. He even at one point wanted God to take his life. God, just kill me. Wish I had never been born. Yes, he did struggle, but God gave Job the victory. My wife and I are reading in Job right now, and as we're going through that part of the book where his sorry friends are there. Strange comforters indeed they were. But in the end, it was God that gave Job the victory. Now listen to this. We're not to live the Christian life with a mindset to be survivors. No, beloved. We're not just trying to survive. In Christ, we can live in victory. Victory. Faith, right? Faith is the victory. Amen. And to each challenge of life, God gives us that faith. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 assures us of that. We read there where it says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Hold on to that thought. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Do we hear that? God gives us the victory by faith. By faith. Let's look for a few moments, not only at the challenge of our faith, but also, could we look at the birth of our faith, the beginning of our faith? And we're familiar with those words from Hebrews chapter 2 and in verse 2, where we're told there that Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. We read there that our faith begins in Jesus Christ. It begins in Him. Might we realize that He indeed is the source of our faith? He's the author. He's the initiator of our faith. It all began that way, wasn't it? In Ephesians chapter 2, is anyone that knows me knows that they're two of my favorite verses in the entire Word of God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9, where we read there from Paul that it's by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, Paul wants us to understand, not of works, lest any man should boast. So yes, indeed, faith is the beginning, the very beginning of our salvation. It is the way of salvation. And we need to regard that. We need to understand that. In many ways, it's very hard for me to explain what goes on here. I don't really understand just how God puts this all together. But I can say this from experience. Before I was saved, there was that point in time when I understood that I was a sinner. I'm still a sinner, but now I'm a sinner saved by grace. But before I was saved, I realized that I was a sinner. I knew I was going to go to hell for my sin. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. Folks had witnessed to me about Jesus. I'd heard the Baptist preacher that at the church we were attending at the time tell me about how I could be saved. And I realized, I knew that if I trusted Jesus as my Savior, I could be saved from my sin. But there was something holding me back. I just couldn't do it. I struggled. I hesitated until that day. And can I say it this way? The Lord turned on the lights of faith. The lights of faith. And I believed. I believed and I trusted Jesus Christ for my salvation. Wow. How did that happen? How did that happen? Well, all I know to say is at that point when those lights came on, I wanted Jesus Christ more than anything. I wanted Him more than I wanted anything else. I longed for His forgiveness. I wanted to be right with God. And beloved, I asked Jesus Christ to save me from my sin. And that freedom was there. That freedom was there to believe. And what happened? A relationship of faith began. It began, and it began in Christ. Now, sadly, many struggle beyond that point. Some struggle to get past that very point. They struggle. They continue to struggle with the assurance, that confidence, if I can say it that way, of their salvation. They struggle with being able to gain that confident peace that God has saved them. Honestly, I hurt for them. Why is it that happens? Well, there could be many symptoms for it, but I believe the primary reason is the inability to exercise the faith to trust. To trust and believe that Jesus Christ has done and is doing what he promised to do as their Savior. To trust him. Now some are trapped into trusting their feelings. Now stick with me on this. They're trapped into to trust their own feelings. Well, I don't feel like I'm saved. Get this. Our feelings do not save us. Our feelings do not save us. God saves us. We do not trust our feelings about salvation. Listen to that again. We don't trust our feelings about salvation. We trust what Jesus Christ did to save us. Huh? Trust. Do you trust God? Then you can trust what he says. You can trust his word. Some others have been duped by Satan into trusting what they're doing for their salvation. Now, let me say it differently. They've been duped by Satan into trusting what they are doing for Jesus for the assurance of their salvation. Well, I know I'm saved because I'm doing this. You follow me? I know I'm saved. I must be saved because look at what I'm doing. I'm doing good things for others. I do things for my church. But that's not salvation by grace through faith. That's not what Paul was talking about when he said, by grace are you saved by works. Are you saved through faith? I'll spit it out yet. Oh my. Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says this. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. Not by those good things that you're doing. No, because we're saved, we will do those things. We will serve Jesus. We will serve one another. But Paul tells Titus, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his, God's mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's that work of God. Salvation by grace through faith is trusting God to save me exactly as the Bible says, by grace through faith. By faith, beloved, I trusted Jesus Christ died in my place to save me from my sin, forgiving me of my sin. Beloved, I believe, I trust, my faith is what he will do, exactly what he says he will do. Beloved, he said he paid the price of my sin. I believe him. I believe him. My faith is in him and the witness of his Holy Spirit to my spirit that Jesus died for me. Huh? He died for me. Again, not just that Jesus died for sinners, but that he died for my sin, that he died for me. With that assurance, beloved, with that assurance, the burden of sin's conviction is replaced with confidence. Huh? That the burden of conviction that drew me to Jesus is then replaced with the confidence in what Jesus Christ has done. Wow. And that's where that refining process of those fiery trials enters in. Everything is taken away that we might trust in, and we're left resting, trusting in Jesus Christ and him alone. Well, I'd like to look thirdly at face. I want to say it this way. It's probably not good grammar. But face exceeding growth. Exceeding growth. We read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 in verse 3 those words where Paul tells those dear folks in Thessalonica, he says, we are bound. This is something we ought to do. We are bound to thank God always for you, Paul says, as he's speaking to his brethren there, as it is meet or fitting, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Is our faith growing? I trust it is. Because true faith, beloved, will grow. True faith will grow. True faith is not something that just stays static or inactive. Faith is a very active thing. And Paul was praising God. He was thanking God for the enabling of the dear folks there at the church of Thessalonica, that their faith was continually growing. It was growing in such a tremendous way that it was beyond measure. Wow. Wow. But with that, as our faith grows, we need to put our faith to work. We must put our faith to work. It's interesting, as we would look back a few pages to the letter, Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. It's interesting. We just read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, we read this. Remembering without ceasing, continually remembering, your dear, and he's speaking to those dear folks in the church of Thessalonica, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Wow. We get that? Again, what's that word patience speak to? That enduring process, that endurance, that endures. Remember without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope, or the enduring of your hope. Now, hope in the New Testament has the idea of that confidence that we have in our God. We have an unwavering confidence in God. Well, what would be another word to express that? Would it not be the word faith? Our hope, our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God our Father. This church, the church of Thessalonica, was putting their faith to work. Now consider this. Faith that is not worked, that is not tested, faith that is not stretched, is a faith that will not grow. That testing, that challenging, that stretching of our faith is required for our faith to grow. In fact, beloved, faith that is satisfied with where it is will stagnate. It'll go backwards. Rather than grow, it will weaken. Rather than get stronger, it will weaken. Now, God may well be using this virus pandemic to cultivate our faith with the purpose to grow our faith, to grow our trust in Him. Now, farmers and gardeners, they understand this word cultivate. They understand the truth of cultivation. Cultivation is important for a crop. We understand that there has to be that initial cultivation. Well, what's that word mean? The loosening or the breaking up of the soil. And of course, that goes on to prepare it to receive the seed. But along the way, As time goes by, there's a need for additional cultivation to remove the weeds that spring up that can hinder or choke the growth of that desired crop. And as we've seen, beloved, we've seen God sows the seed of the Word of God. It springs forth in the life in the heart of the believer as the gospel of Jesus Christ takes root there and comes forth in life. But along the way, like weeds to a crop, the faith of a believer can be hindered. It can be stunted by the cares of the world, by the circumstances of life, if we don't understand those circumstances, those cares, in the light of God's Word. God gives testing of our faith through life's challenges to purify and to strengthen our faith. Thinking about this week, you can debate this, that's fine. I believe that one of the worst things for our faith is to have it too easy. One of the worst things for our faith is to have life too easy. It might be hard for us to understand or believe, but where there is no stress at all, where everything's easy, everything, even applying that to a crop, where there's no stress at all on a crop, it can ultimately weaken the crop. Can I illustrate it this way? We understand that obviously water is essential for any crop. But if there's not times where the soil dries out at the surface, the plant will never need to send its roots down deep. Because any crop, when the soil tends to dry at the surface, it'll send its roots down after the moisture that it needs. The roots will remain shallow when there's too much moisture, when it's too easy, and it makes that plant weakened. It will not be able to stand against the winds, and it'll easily wilt even under the normal sun. There's a need. There is a need for some stressing on that plant. And beloved, we might not like this, but there is a need in our lives for some stressing. There's such a thing, beloved, as a healthy level of stress or testing. Maybe we like that word better. Testing in our lives. If our faith is not submitted to those purifying trials, there won't be any strengthening or growing of our faith. And without that strengthening, without that growth, life's testing can knock us down. We'll be emotionally, spiritually, even physically wilt under the exposure to life's trials. How important is it for our faith to grow and be strengthened? It is God's design that at the moment we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, that we begin a life of faith. What was the verse we began with? The just shall live by faith. If you're saved, you're in a life that requires faith. Learning to depend upon the Lord and His gracious, merciful help all along the way. Well, how do we conclude this today? Let me ask you a question. I love questions. Is this virus going to break us or make us? Talked to several folks this week, and And I think we're all getting a little old, a little cabin fever, whatever the terminology might be. Is this virus going to break us or make us? What's the stress like in your home right now? The kids at home, husband and wife at home, together more than we're normally used to? There's some stress even there, isn't there? Is it going to make us or break us? We've asked the question before over the last few weeks, can this pandemic defeat us? Well, the truth of the matter is that physically, it could take me down. But this virus cannot take down the Lord Jesus Christ. This virus cannot separate me from the love of Jesus Christ. It cannot take me away from my God. I am safe in Him and secure in His love for me. My faith is in God who gave His Son to be my Savior. My faith rests in the one who holds me, holds you if you're saved, in His very hand of security. Just like the old song says, my faith has found a resting place. Isn't that great? My faith has found a resting place. Words come from a dear lady, Eliza Hewitt. It's interesting that song was published 130 years ago, but its message is still powerful today. I'm asking you, own these words for yourself. I want to read a couple verses. Miss Hewitt writes, and she says, my faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to Him. He'll never cast me out. My heart, now listen to this, my heart is leaning on the Word, the written Word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through His blood. The chorus to that song goes like this. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Friend, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? I don't know who might be listening to this message today, but I'm just simply asking you, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? I didn't ask the question if you go to church. That's been taken away right now. No. That's been stripped away in these days. I'm asking you if you have repented of your sins and by faith received Jesus Christ as your Savior, to deliver you from your sin. Oh, please, please, if you do not have that peace, if your faith is not resting in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, right now, there where you're at, bow your head before the God of glory, repent of your sin, receive Jesus Christ. How? By faith. By faith, Lord, I'm trusting You, what You have done for me. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. Oh, my. And Christian, aren't you thankful that we can praise God that Jesus Christ is indeed the resting place of our faith. Our faith rests in Him. Yes, indeed, we're grateful, we're thankful for the wisdom that God has given to the medical community and what they're doing to fight this virus. We're thankful for the leadership of our country, even all the way down to our local officials. We can be thankful for them as we pray and hold them up before the Lord. Father, we bow before You, asking You once again for Your good grace. We thank You for Jesus. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the Scriptures, the Word of God. Lord, I pray that You would take up where this preacher fails. Take Your Word, apply it to hearts and to lives today. Lord, I pray for every Christian that might have listened to this message today. Please, please, Lord, help us to focus our eyes of faith upon Jesus and upon Jesus alone. Thank You, Lord. I'm praying for those as well that are yet without that hope, without that peace, that do not have that resting place in their life. Lord, please, please would You grant them that light today to see Jesus, to see all that He did for them, and that even now, they place their faith, their trust in Jesus Christ for their salvation. Lord, again, thank You. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we come to the end of another streamed service here. Again, as we mentioned earlier, this is the third Sunday that we've had to meet together this way. Don't know how many more Sundays we'll have to do this. But, beloved, in the midst of it all, we still have Jesus. We still have our God. And our hope, our faith, as we tried to lay out this morning, is in Him. It's in Him. Do your best to protect yourself. That's just wisdom. That's wise. That's using a sound mind as God's given it to us. But also we, out of that love for our God and our love for each other, are trusting Him, believing Him. God bless you. Until next time, bye-bye.